listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
All right, what up, what up, what up? It is the Forza Podcast. We are quarantined inside. We have nowhere to go. It's your boy, Marsh. As always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how are we?
I'm doing good. What's up, man?
Nothing, literally nothing at all. And we have a special third host with us tonight. Jordan, who do we got?
So we got our man Chip Mayhew. Some of you guys know him as Duck. But yeah, happy to have you on, Chip. How you doing, bro?
Fours up, everybody. Fours up. We're all staying indoors, trying to stay safe. So let's get a good show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
We had an earthquake out here a few days ago, man. It's just adding chaos to the quarantine stuff.
Bro, it's insane, man. Jordan, did you feel the earthquake?
Yeah, dude, it woke me up. My bed was rattling, like shaking back and forth, and I woke up and immediately knew what was going on. But I mean, for our listeners outside of Utah, they're like, we sit on this really massive fault line. You know, in elementary school, they always tell us, like, you know, one of these days this fault line is going to go and it's going to be real bad. You know, like we're overdue for a massive earthquake that will be catastrophic. So I woke up and the first thing I thought was like, this is the one, you know, like like my life is ending right now. I've been trained for this since I was 5 years old.
Yeah, I woke up, my dog was looking around like, what the hell is going on? I, you know, being from South Florida, I thought it was like just a really bad thunderstorm. And then I'm like, wait a second, it's still shaking. Like, this room is still shaking. And I'm like, good God, it's an earthquake. It's just crazy. Chip, I know you're a South Florida guy too. Have you ever experienced an earthquake?
I have not experienced an earthquake. I've experienced tremor, like just little ones, but nothing like that. And now, you know, with this whole what is it, isolation thing everybody's going through. Now the world and, you know, the United States knows what we go through on hurricane watch. Like, you hunker down. Mm-hmm. And you know it's coming. And it's just been nuts here. It's been, you know, it's been crazy all over the country. You guys getting hit with the earthquake. Like, we're just dreading that the situation, the virus situation and everything, doesn't roll right into hurricane season. Because now it's pretty good. We got electricity and air conditioning. Yeah. But it can get a whole lot worse real fast.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I lived through Wilma and everything. I know you were probably there for Hurricane Andrew and things like that. And it was crazy because me and my brother, I'm staying with my brother right now because my classes were canceled. I have literally nothing to do. And me and my brother were at the grocery store the other day and we're just like, man, this kind of feels like we're gearing up for a hurricane party or something like that.
That's exactly what it's like.
What's the situation right now in South Florida?
Situation is everything's closed down. The restaurants are all takeout. They don't want anybody more than 10 people in an establishment at one time. Everybody's supposed to stay 6 feet apart. You know, we got a lot of old people here. And so they've opened up the supermarkets early so they can come in and shop by themselves from like 7 to 9 when the store's super clean and there's nobody else in there, which is a good thing.
That just sounds insane because, I mean, my mom is down there right now just at our place in Hollywood, and she just said, yeah, I mean, I'm in South Florida, but it doesn't really feel like South Florida just because you can't really do anything, and it sucks, man. Jordan, what are you going to do about your flight, bro?
I don't know, man. I've kind of been public with it that my mom's high risk. I think I'm going to try to get my money back or see if I can just reschedule, you know, if I could reschedule the flight, even if it costs more money, I'd love to move it to later in the season and come down and see a game. So,
yeah.
But that things are looking, I'm not sure I'm going to be in Florida this April.
It's such BS, man. And, like, your first time going to South Florida, we had all these things in plan, and then it just kind of got crapped on.
Yeah, dude, it does.
Yeah, but it sucks. But I mean, we're still pumping out content. We got at some point tonight, we hope former Hurricane and friend of the show LaVon Ponder will jump on the show. But I mean, as of right now, we got tons of, even though football is not going on, still got some football news. Tom Brady to the Bucks. What are your guys' thoughts on that? What do you think, Chip?
Who's that?
Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Oh, let me look him up real quick. What position?
Jesus.
somebody asked the other day, and they're like, what's going to be on ESPN now that, you know, all the shows and all the sports are canceled? And I was like, Tom Brady Watch is going to be on 24/7, and it's been nothing but Tom Brady, like, the whole time.
What do you think, Ben?
I've been calling for Brady to the Bucks all season. Well, it wasn't always specifically Brady, but I love the Bucks receiving core with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and you know they had Breshad Perriman, or however you say his name. I think he's gonna leave, but if they add anyone else, I mean, that's far and away the best wide receiver group in the NFL.
Yeah,
and I mean, so really, I wanted any quarterback that was good to go there, whether it was Big Ben if they moved on from him, or Tom Brady, or, you know, I would have even been happy to see Teddy Bridgewater go there.
Yeah.
Are you a Bucks fan?
No, I'm not. I loved watching them last year, though, because I thought they were so entertaining. You know, you never knew if Jameis was going to throw a pick six or a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
But I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, actually.
Oh, God. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, that's rough, man. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I mean, if you're a longtime Bills fan, that's pretty rough. As far as the Canes go, man, I mean, no football until August 1st, which it the one season we go to like a 21st century type of offense. We get the offensive coordinator, we get the quarterback, and that, and then everything goes to hell. Like I just don't get it. It sucks, man. But our boy Blaze Campbell, he signed with the Ravens, which I love. Hopefully he can follow in line with some of the past former Hurricanes to go on to Baltimore. What else is going on, Jordan?
I mean, not really. Did you see the video of Derek King working out?
I just saw it like 20 minutes ago. Chip, did you see that?
No, I didn't. Where is it?
It's somewhere on Twitter. Let me ask you, Chip, what are your thoughts on De'Aaron King? Because I know that you've been, you know, you voiced your opinion about the Hurricanes and their offense. What are your thoughts on De'Aaron King?
I don't know. I mean, I pretty much only watch the big games, the Hurricanes, the rest of the Florida schools, meaning UF and FSU, if they're playing a good person. I've never seen this team play. I've never seen this kid play. He came from Houston?
Yeah, Houston.
I haven't watched them.
Okay.
And especially since last year he only played four games.
Yeah.
People know the name just because he lit up football like 2 years ago, but a lot of people don't, like, haven't seen him. They just really know the name. But man, I just hope that this excitement just carries on to the regular season, and that motivation I just hope, because we were first week of spring ball. I mean, good things were ahead, and it just sucks, man. It just sucks. Cause I mean, I just live for football, and I'm sitting here just watching Entourage literally 24/7 here, bro.
I need to gear that up. I've been watching a little bit of Star Wars Clone Wars, like the cartoon. And then I've also been watching some Scrubs, but Entourage is what I need to get into next, man.
Chip, you an Entourage fan?
I'm an Entourage fan, a huge fan. And one thing you'll notice is they don't watch football on the show, because L.A. just got a team, or two teams. They didn't have a football team for 25 years, and they didn't care. They're in the box office in Los Angeles. Yeah. It's so not like the South in Florida, where we wake up to college football. Like L.A., yeah, they'll jump on USC's bandwagon if they're stomping people and, you know, having huge winning streaks. But they don't care about football.
True.
Los Angeles.
So LeVon is ready to jump on. So let's I'm going to patch him in, and then how about we get to some of the NFL stuff and even chat some Entourage after. Does that go with you guys?
Yeah.
Cool.
What's going on?
How you doing, brother?
It's good.
Hey, what's going on, LeVon? Glad to have you on again, brother.
No problem.
All right. And you are on with you're on with Marsh and Jordan, and also Chip. So we got former Hurricane, friend of the show. He's been on before, LeVon Ponder. And once again, thank you for taking the time to come on. Are you quarantined inside right now?
Yep, quarantined inside, cooking me some chicken.
Good deal, brother. What's you're in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the situation like over there?
You know, streets are kind of clear and people are, grocery stores empty. No food in the grocery store, no meat, then no water nowhere, and found a little bit of toilet paper somewhere.
Dang, that is insane, man. Yeah, we're here in Utah, Chip's over there in South Florida, and I'm just sick of being indoors, man. But we talked a little bit about you know, your time with the Hurricanes last time that you were on, and it was kind of funny because afterwards, you know, you were talking about, hey man, I got some Devin Hester stories for you and things like that. I want to hear some of those Devin Hester stories and stories in general. You got a few in mind?
Oh yeah, I got a bunch in mind.
Dude, let's hear about our boy Devin Hester. Give us something about him.
All right. First story I'll tell. The Duke game. You know the Duke game, the one that everybody sees where he does three, turns around and takes it back to the house. Yeah. So before we go on the field, he's like, man, I'm gonna take it back. I said, all right. I guess I'll block. See what we do. He say, y'all just give me just a little bit of block, and I'll take it back. I said, okay. you know, they snapped the ball. We run. I think we just ran. It was supposed to be just a middle return. Just a regular middle return. You know, everybody blocked their man out and middle return. And, you know, I was blocking my man, and then my man got loose from me. And I see he went in to go wrap up Hester around the waist. And Hester just flips out. I said, oh, I need to block somebody again. So I went around. Find somebody else to block. I think I just brushed in front of somebody, and that's all he needed, and he was gone to the house. I say, man. So we get to the end zone. And I look at him. I say, dude, how you said you was gonna take it back, and you took it back for real.
Yeah. Bro, I remember I was sitting in the Orange Bowl that day. I was at that game, and I remember my dad, my father bought me a Hester jersey right after that game. Right outside the OB. That was – I love that clip, mostly because I got to see it in person. Chip, you've been a Hurricane fan, you know, your entire life, South Florida. Where does Devin Hester rank in terms of most exciting football players you've been able to watch?
Well, I always call him the real 23 from Chicago because he's actually the best at his position of any sport. Like they talk about, you know, everyone down here last week was saying that Dwayne Wade is the greatest South Florida athlete of all time. Well, he's not even the best at his position. Devin Hester, there's no argument. You know what I mean? There's no LeBron versus MJ when it comes to Devin Hester. He's the best, period.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Let me ask you something. He didn't have like the greatest 40 time and 100 yard dash and everything. What do you think he had that made him so special?
He was that. I'm faster than the next guy's speed. So if you're running next to him, he's going to be faster than you.
One step faster.
He's going to be faster than you.
He got one more gear. Yeah, okay.
Yep. One more gear. And I remember the Louisville game, 2004. I registered that year. And when he turned it on and made the kicker and the guy that was chasing him shut it down, that's what you call an extra gear.
Yeah.
Like, they just stopped running after him. When he hit the hole, they just stopped running after him.
Hester. And all his coaches, whatever coaches he had, whether it was in college or the pros, they all got so greedy and wanted him to do so many other things. When if you just play the numbers on it, if you return a kick or a punt in a game, you're probably going to win the game.
Funny story about why he was playing offense and wide receiver and starting at cornerback and everything. I'll tell you that right now.
All right.
So I think it was 2005. I think it was after Florida State game. I think it's at the Florida State game. I hear somebody coming down the hallway at the heck. If Hester doesn't play, I'm taking my money out. The program. So I peek back around. It's your boy Nevin coming down the hallway.
Oh, man.
If Devin Hester doesn't start, I'm taking my money out the program. What? That was a shocking moment. Next thing I know, We're on the defensive side of the ball. They call them over to the offensive side. Go to the meeting. Go to the offensive meeting. They was like, he's going to play running back. He's going to play receiver. He's going to play some DB. But he's going to get the ball whenever we can get him the ball.
He really said he would take his money out of the program?
Take his money out of the program. Jeez. If Devin Hester didn't play or start.
And then if you play 12 or 15 other plays, you don't have the same, you know, get up and go. It go. Takes away from the kicking, from the returns.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you tweeted something at us not too long ago comparing the Roscoe Parrish and Devin Hester. Was Roscoe Parrish there for 2004?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Because Roscoe Parrish, Canes fans remember him. And in my personal opinion, you know, Hester obviously, you know, had the better career. But Roscoe Parrish was one of the more exciting players that we've seen. Talk about Roscoe Parrish as a player.
Oh, Roscoe was a dynamic player, a guy who, you know, he had that breakaway speed. He was, a good route runner, got in and out of cuts. Just one of those all around, you know, those small guys that you hate to guard in the slot. One of those guys.
You know, when I think of Roscoe, I think of him, taking a reverse and, you know, taking it to the house. I also I'm ashamed to say it. The one play that I remember was at FSU in 2003 in the rain when he got hit so hard.
Yeah.
He did a helicopter in the air, and I thought he might still be laying dead in Tallahassee right now.
I remember that hit. And Brock set him up. That was a bad throw by Brock, though.
Dude, that was that's what we call a hospital pass in football.
Yeah, he shouldn't have threw it. I was at home watching that game. And I was like, dude, don't throw the ball. Oh,
he got a collapsed lung, right?
I think so. I think he had something. I think he was out for the rest of the game. I don't know that much, but
yeah, he I think he did because when I lived in Tallahassee, people would always talk about that hit, and I'm pretty sure that he was transferred to the hospital right there. So that's crazy. Did you have many interactions with Nevin Shapiro, LaVon?
I didn't have many with him. No, I didn't have not just you know, maybe in passing through the locker room and at the OB. That's about it. Other than that, I didn't have many. But I just knew guys who, you know, who were dealing with him that, you know, were getting, you know, extra perks, you know, whatever.
Chip, what are your thoughts on our boy Nevin?
Jeez, what a rat, yeah. You know? Yeah. I did a documentary about the final year of the Orange Bowl where I went to the games and interviewed people and stuff. And I couldn't have – the one thing that surprised me so much about being on the sideline and everything is how many hangers-on there are on the program. Like, we're used to seeing Sapp and Ray Lewis and those guys on the sideline because TV shows them. But there's a whole bunch of dudes that were on the sideline that you were like, why is this guy on the sideline? Why is he here? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nevin had his own press box area. That's at OB. And OB didn't have that many press boxes.
No.
He had his own area up there. He had field access and everything. It was like he was a part of the program without being paid by the program. Jeez.
And that should have been so obvious for the people in control to see that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people have a good instinct on who the right guy is and the wrong guy is. And I'm sure a whole bunch of people knew that, like, this guy does not need to be around these kids. But because he was stroking checks, they looked the other way. And that's terrible.
Well, I was just about to ask Chip and LaVon, how did a guy like that just slip through the cracks for that long? Is it just because of the money situation or what?
He was paying. When you're able to write Donna Shalala a big money check, she can turn her head and not even see you. When you're able to write a big check to the football program, to the whole athletic program, and everybody just turned their head. He was writing these elaborate checks, and you know, had when guys came on recruiting visits, big time guys, he was taking them out, you know, to the clubs, and they were getting everything they wanted, anything they wanted, and it was just like, hey, he's helping us.
Yeah.
And South Florida, unlike Salt Lake City, Miami and South Florida rewards notoriety.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we represent for Scarface. We represent for Luke. And, you know, like, the Notorious lifestyle gets rewarded in South Florida.
Yep.
That doesn't, like, happen. It happens in other places, but it happens, like, the most in Miami, where it's like, oh, you want to, you know, are you a tough guy? Are you a bad dude? It gets rewarded here.
Yep.
LaVon, when you were at Miami, was there one big time recruit that came in for a visit that you were like, oh man, like these are exciting times. Like, this is a guy that we have to get, that just had a lot of buzz around him.
One of the guys that I had that I hosted was Adamican Sue. I hosted him there at Miami.
Well, oh wow, nice.
There.
who else came in? That was big time. Oh, I was there when Shady McCoy and Greg Cooper came in at the same time. Funny story. The reason Shady didn't come back to Miami after he had to go to prep school was because Greg started over him at prep school and he didn't want a competition.
Really?
Yep.
Man, that's Greg is one of like my all-time favorite Canes that I mean, I guess didn't really – his football career didn't pan out. I mean, is that the right way to say it? I mean, I loved him while he was on the team. He was my favorite player the years he was there. And, like, man, it just sucks that we didn't get a long NFL career of Greg Cooper.
But, yeah, Shady – him and Shady actually went to the same prep school after they didn't qualify their first year. They were supposed to come in, I believe, 2006. Both of them supposed to came in together. But they both didn't qualify, so they went to prep school, and Greg started over Shady, and Shady went to Pittsburgh, and Greg went to Miami.
Yeah, Cooper and Javaris James, that's one of the more forgotten duos in the back.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes. I have to ask you this, LaVon, and I didn't ask you last time out of respect for this guy. Tell me about Kyle Wright, because, I mean, I am very critical of his time at Miami, and obviously there was a whole lot of other things going around. I was a younger fan. I didn't really understand what was going on and things like that. Talk about Kyle Wright as a quarterback.
As a quarterback, he had all the tools. I mean, big arm, nice vision, accuracy. But the thing is, he had his 4 years there. He had three different offensive coordinators. So it was like buying a stick shift and trying to drive a stick shift after you had a big concussion and forgot how to drive.
Yeah.
So, but he had all the tools, and then he got injured one camp, and that's when Kirby Freeman started those couple of games to begin the season. I think that was 2007. Kirby started. Yeah. Beginning of 2007.
But I remember Kirby was the quarterback. I think Kirby was the quarterback, starting quarterback, when we went up to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That was a rough game. What was Kyle Wright as a teammate?
He was a good guy. Guy that cared about everybody, made sure everybody was right. Guy who was fun guy to be around. Always smiling. No, always joking. One of the guys, really.
And I know I'm kind of talking over Jordan and Chip right now. Let me ask about one more guy, then I'll let these guys ask some questions. One of my favorite Hurricanes growing up, and you know, rest his soul, Tyrone Moss. What talk about his time as a Hurricanes running back, and were you close with him at all?
Tyrone, he came in a year before me, so he was a guy a year before me. But when I met him, he was, you know, cool guy, laid back. He didn't say much, but he was a guy that was, he learned a lot from Frank, put it that way,
mm-hmm.
his first 2 years.
Yeah.
He learned a lot from Frank, and that's where you saw it come out on the field with his running style, you know, behind his shoulder pads, running guys over. He was a real good guy, real good guy. Always, you know, making sure everybody in the locker room is okay. Checking on his running back. He was like that. When he got older, he was like their grandfather in the running back room. You know, make sure everybody was right. But he was always, you know, he was always the old guy. He kind of got hurt sometimes, so they're like, oh, look at grandpa. But he was that guy that took care of everybody.
Absolutely. One of the most incredible plays I've ever seen was his run against Virginia Tech in 2006, fourth quarter. I think we're at like midfield or something like that. He goes up like 3 yards, you know, swarmed by defenders, somehow breaks loose for a long touchdown. It was incredible. And too bad we lost that game, but
yeah, I remember that game, man. Brandon Orr tore us up. I remember that game. Yeah, Brandon Orr had, I think he went for almost 200 yards rushing that game or something like that. But yeah,
it was a defensive battle that game. It was a defensive battle.
Yeah, but Brandon Orr was the one who he kept him in the game. And we couldn't push the ball past midfield to save our lives on the offensive end.
I mean, those offenses during those years were kind of reminiscent of last year's Hurricanes teams, just not able to score points, and it was very frustrating.
We were 2005, 2006, we were, top 10 in defense, and I think 2005, we were number one in total defense and passing defense, and the numbers just didn't show out when it came to the wins and losses.
It sounds like the last 2 years that we've had, though, you know, have a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. So I actually wanted to ask you about, you know, a coach that you had all 5 years in Randy Shannon. So the first 3 years, correct? He would have been defensive coordinator, and then your last two, he would have been head coach.
Yeah.
So can you help us, you know, us here and then also the listener, do you have any ideas why Randy Shannon would have been so successful as a defensive coordinator, but then, you know, why it didn't necessarily translate to being a head coach? Or, I mean, was there anything that made sense to you in that process?
Two different Randys. Okay. The defensive coordinator, Randy Shannon, was a fun guy, laughing, joking, you know, getting guys ready to play. The head coach was a businessman. He was, you know, he was one way, you know, trying to change the program around, which I was there. I don't think the program needed changing around, per se. Maybe we needed to, you know, get some better coaches in on position side, but other than that, it just changed. He just totally changed into, it was a different person. Like his head coaching was not his coordinator side.
Okay, so did you find it harder to, I mean, not you personally, but as a position group or a defense or even a whole team, I mean, was it just harder to get up for him when he was head coach and, you know, kind of lost that fun side to him?
Yeah. Yeah, we had some guys that were deserving of being on the team that were kicked off the team.
Okay.
Just because, you know, just to show, an image or to make a statement or something like that. But it wasn't something that, if I was the head coach, I would have, you know, kicked him off the team for.
But this is Chip. He was mandated to also raise the grade point averages and graduation rates too. And he did.
Yeah, he did. It's because he told guys not to go to the NFL and come back and graduate.
So, I mean, I remember they were either like just there with Stanford or, you know, just a couple of schools away. So that's nobody else. They're not asking anybody else to do that at other schools.
No.
They didn't ask Frank Beamer to do that. And that's a big thing to ask.
Yeah. Because then you had the whole, so with him, with them asking him to do that, the whole thing changed to where, you know, like take, take this Georgia team from last year. The guy Pickens. They say Pickens never went to class. You know, you got some guys on Georgia team that never went to class, but they still played in the game. Here, well, when I was at Miami, you didn't go to class. You didn't play. You got suspended.
Right.
We had a lot of guys suspended for a game or a half or so. Because they didn't go to class, that's because they were, you know, they were asking him to for those type of restrictions.
Right.
Even though, you know, going to class is the right thing to do. But, you know, some guys, once they get into college, it's like school.
Of course.
School is secondary.
In Miami, and you're young, and you're popular. Like, man, it doesn't get much better than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see myself going to class if I, you know, if I was a player at Miami. There's no way. I barely went when I, you know, I was paying to go to Utah State, and I barely went to class. So, I mean, if I was on a scholarship at Miami, why would I go?
Dude, I went to Fort Lauderdale High School in the 80s. Like, the spring break movies, like all that stuff, you know, it was crazy. LaVon, I see here that you redshirted. Check. Am I on?
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Hello?
Yeah.
I think we're all on here still.
Okay. Oh. LaVon, I see here on my notes that you redshirted, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, talk about what that did for you as a player and everything, because now the kids, like, they're throwing you right on the field.
Yeah, I was able to get, you know, stronger. I hurt my shoulder during fall camp, and I was able to, you know, get stronger, get bigger, faster. It just helped all around. With me learning the defense, like when it came to my 2005, I knew the whole defense, like from the front end to the back end, because I was able to put in that time to study the defense. Now you guys learn on the fly, and it's coming at them.
What was your first game that you were able to play in?
My first game I was able to play in was Clemson, I believe. Clemson was my first action.
Triple overtime game?
Yep. Triple overtime game. That was my first action with the game being on the line and everything. I remember I had one, matter of fact, in the fourth quarter I was in. It was shocked me. Late in the fourth quarter I was in, and sent me on the blitz, and I almost stripped Charlie Whitehurst and almost won the game, but he got the ball off somehow. I don't know.
Because Clemson's one of my places that it's on my bucket list. What was the toughest environment? What was the loudest away game that you played in?
It had to be Clemson. And that was before they added those seats behind the they added some more seats behind the closed end zone. So not the end zone where they come down at, but on the other side, they were just put in construction for those seats at the time, and it was still loud. My wife went to that game, and she was like, it was too loud. I had to cover the baby's ears. It was so loud.
Well, and I think that game, they broke like some decibel record or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because Miami came in 0-1. We just lost a heartbreaker at Florida State, and Tyrone Moss and Kenny Phillips, man, those are the two guys that I remember. And I remember Devin Hester they gave Hester a reverse on that game too.
He was playing where?
I think he was at receiver.
He was on receiver. Go back to my earlier story. You know why.
Yeah. I bet Nevin was happy about that one.
Didn't he score at tailback too? On a toss?
I don't think he scored. I think he took it a long run.
A short tailback. Touchdown. Like maybe from the 7.
I think he did have a short touchdown from the 7. I think going to the opening zone, I believe. I think he did. I think he did have a touchdown in that game too.
Let me ask you quick too. How do you feel when you talk to guys that didn't play at all and never played, that think that they know X's and O's because of watching ESPN or playing the video games?
I just let guys, you know, I like to have a conversation with guys to get where they're what they think they know about the game. And some guys are on point, like you guys here. You guys know what you're talking about. Some guys just talk and don't know and don't understand scheme or what's going on or what the offense is trying to do or what the defense is trying to do as the play is going on.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because obviously you did it for, you know, pretty much most of your life, and you did it at the highest level. And now with, you know, all the shows on ESPN and guys playing the video games for 10 or 20 years, there's a whole bunch of guys out there that don't understand contact.
No.
And that it's also a physical game, and the thumps count.
Yeah.
That, you know?
You can wail on a guy. Like, just take, for instance, the Tennessee Titans this year. They ran the ball. I think Ryan Tannehill threw, 11 passes or something like that? Yeah. And they ran – when you run the ball like that against a team, that's very demoralizing. That means they cannot – they can't stop you, and the clock just keeps running and running and running and running.
And when you can stop the run, like totally, like Kane style, that also changes the game. You just keep giving the ball back to your quarterback.
Yep. When you can stop the run, that's on defense. When you can stop the run and make a team one-dimensional, as in passing the ball, for where you can get to the quarterback and do things like that. Get pressures, get sacks, you know, get tip balls. That demoralizes the offense.
Kane's got to get back to playing that type of football.
Oh, yeah. Man, I remember we had Baraka Atkins and Kareem Brown and Eric Moncourt and God bless the dead, Brian Powell, guys like that getting after the quarterback in Vegas Franklin. When he hit Marcus Vick in the end zone against Virginia Tech, you just had guys like that getting after the quarterback and demoralizing.
Yeah, yeah.
They got, and what I see right now with Roche and Greg and they got those type of guys right now.
They sure do.
I'm pumped, and I hope we can keep it coming, because I mean, our defensive line has been solid for 4 or 5 years now in a row. And I really hope that we can just keep this pipeline going and you know, continue to fill it in. And, you know, I think that's a position group where, I mean, I wouldn't know as well as guys like you, LaVon, but, you know, when I hear people talk about these old Kane teams that were really successful where, you know, in practice it was a battle and, you know, among position groups people were, you know, competing so hard so they could get on the field. Like, yeah. That's kind of what I see that we got going at defensive line, and I'd really like to see it expand to more positions. I mean, we're loaded like 5 guys deep at defensive end.
Yeah. And a rotation would help that out great, because you got get guys fresh and come in and still rush the quarterback and not be a letdown in production.
Yeah, I'm that's probably one of the things I'm most excited to see this season is you know, downs that Roche and Rousseau rotate out. I'm really excited to see Jafari Harvey and Jalen Phillips and see if they can still create pressure. And if they can, man, we are going to be so difficult to beat if we're, you know, generating a really good pass rush, you know, without having to blitz, but with Jalen Phillips and Jafari Harvey in there.
Mm-hmm.
We got to score points.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Hey, but if your defense can hold them to zero and your offense can put up 3, you'll win the game.
That's true.
Isn't that what I always talk about, guys?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a thump or be thumped. It's thump or be thumped. You know, somebody, you're going to put your will on somebody, or they're going to put it on you. And they're never going to make – nobody's going to make Miami into some super technical team. Nope. This is not going to happen here. It's you got to thump.
I mean, we've had guys try. I mean, that's kind of what Al Golden and Mark D'Onofrio were trying. That's kind of what Dan Enos was trying. You know, I think you're right on. I think it's just, you know, simple schemes, simple playbook, and just let dudes fly. I mean, that's what we do.
That's on the defensive end. If you can if you can, not even on defense, on both sides of the ball, if you got guys that can hit and run fast, you're going to get somewhere. Just look at those. I take that. Look at that LSU team. Those linebackers were flying around.
Flying.
In the secondary, all they had to do was cover a couple seconds, and those guys up front were getting to the quarterback. That's what we need to get back to, that right there.
Yeah, well, I got one last question for you, LaVon, unless anyone else has something after me. But so the question I got for you is, if you could name for us five dudes that when you interacted with them in practice or in games, like, you just thought to yourself, like, I cannot believe how good of an athlete that guy is. You know, so from your teammates, give us the top five, like, athletes that just blew your mind when you play with them.
First, I start off with Brandon Merriweather. Small guy, not that big, but will hit you with all his might and lay you out. I go with Devin Hester, fast guy. Numbers don't show it, but always blazing fast. Tenoris Moss, okay. Small guy, but lightning quick. And then a guy that is the third leading rusher in the NFL right now, ever, Frank Gore.
Yep.
Was a guy of consistency. Always at practice, you know what you're going to get, and you know what he's going to do. But he's going to be a guy that's going to always be there.
Yeah.
And last guy I say is Calais Campbell.
Okay.
Guy was a guy that came in redshirted right along with me, but came in and worked his behind off. Got eight. You know what? I always compare Greg year this year to what Clay's did, because he's a guy, long rangey guy, and that came in and worked his tail off and became what he became. Became a third round pick, and is one of the top defensive ends in the NFL right now.
Yeah. We're big fans of Calais, and I'm just so happy for him that he's been getting all the praise and all the money that he's had in his career. I just love to see it, man. It's good to have someone who's still putting up for the U in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
Well, hey, LaVon, thank you so much for coming on, man. Again, whenever you want to come on, you're more than welcome. We love having you, brother. And yeah, just thanks again, bro.
No problem, man.
Thanks, man. LaVon. Go Canes, brother.
Go Canes.
Cool. Love it, man.
Good stuff, man.
I mean, it's just crazy to talk to people that were around guys like a Devin Hester, a Calais Campbell, this guy saw Frank Gore out on Green Tree. And he saw Miami, right? The reason why I love talking to LaVon so much is that he started with Miami when they were still like Miami. You know, he wasn't a part of a national championship team, but they were still a top five school in the country. And it's just really interesting to me to see guys that saw what it took to make a program like that. And I'm over here kind of like a mad scientist, just trying to figure out the pieces. I'm trying to work as like an AD or something, just trying to figure out how to make this program what it should be, man.
No, I'm with you. That's the magic of having LaVon on, and I'm sure we'll work with him so much more in the future. But like you said, you know, he was there during our peak, and then, I mean, at the tail end, but, and then was part of that transition into, you know, the sporadic dumpster fire that we've been ever since.
He played in a lot of big, meaningful games.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
I mean, that Clemson game, that triple overtime Clemson game, that 05 Virginia Tech game where we went up there and beat Marcus Vick. I mean, those are the last,
games that we can remember when Miami was still Miami. And I love talking about Nevin Shapiro too. I think that is so just fascinating and things like that. Chip, I mean, did you ever meet Nevin?
No. No. My situation down at the Orange Bowl was pretty unique. I was good friends with a guy that was a supervisor level of the CSC event staff, like the guys in the yellow shirts that, you know, control the stadium.
Yeah.
So I basically just went to every game that I wanted to for 15 years with no tickets and got VIP treatment at the Orange Bowl.
Awesome. You know, you probably passed like 11 or 12 year old Marsh some like in that stadium, man. I miss it every fall. I mean, Hard Rock Stadium it's cool, but I mean, it's nothing like just sitting in the OB with no backs to your chairs. It's about 100 degrees in there. And just, I don't know. It's just something special about, you know, turning into Little Havana and just.
But you did go there, right, Marsh? You've been to the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. We had season tickets up until it closed. I was young. I was like fifth, sixth, seventh grade. But yeah, I was at those games. Yeah,
you can't explain it to people. Just words don't do it. Justice, the feeling of just like the sunset, you know, late afternoon game, the breeze kicks in, you can smell the food. Like it was like no place ever.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just unbelievable. It was so awesome.
Just tailgating in the grass lots. I mean, parking, I mean, some lady yelling at you, no park. And I'm sorry that we're just reminiscing, Jordan. Yeah.
It's all good.
Okay, yeah, we actually had a few. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say one thing. I loved the story that LeVon told about Devin Hester, where he said, "I'm gonna take it back," and then he did. Like that reminded me of these stories you hear in the NBA, you know, where like Larry Bird or Michael Jordan is like talking trash at the beginning of the game, like, "I'm gonna score 40 this game," you know, or. I mean, there's some story about Larry Bird where he said he's going to score 40 using his left hand only or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that they're able to do it after they say that, like, that just blows my mind. Because, I mean, I've been, you know, never at a high level, but I've played sports my whole life. I've, you know, longtime athlete, very competitive. You know, I wasn't a slouch either, but you know, just that ability and confidence to just be like, I'm going to do something incredible. And then to do it, like that's always just been mind blowing to me. And it's cool to think of Devin Hester in that capacity too, that he had that elite ability where he knew, you know, like I'm taking it back this time. And he did.
Well, and Hester was a player. There's not many players that, I mean, I can remember that. If a punt's coming up or a kickoff is coming up, like I'm not leaving my seat. I'm not leaving my couch. Like I am staying to watch that guy play football. And even when he got to the Bears, I mean, that Super Bowl return, I remember I was watching in Hawaii and I'm like, this guy, he's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it. He was back in Miami and lo and behold, he took it to the house.
Yeah. Do you remember that game against the Cardinals where they built that big lead and then the Bears came back and that punt return from Devin Hester was a big part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Rex Grossman had about 8 turnovers that game by himself.
Yeah, so I hated the Bears. Like, I've always hated the Bears. And, you know, but I was a Hester fan. And when that punt was coming up, I was just like, I don't know what to do because I know exactly what's going to happen, you know. But I'm not going to like it. But at the same time, Hester's my guy. I just hated the Bears so bad, you know.
Not only did Hester carry the Bears into the playoffs, he spotted Grosswoman 7 points in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When he should have been a senior on the Canes.
Yeah.
Dude, come on.
I mean, that Bears offense was putrid. They had Rex Grossman, I think like Cedric Benson. They were horrible. Like they were just like the Canes right now. Like, and Devin Hester literally. Him and that defense took a team to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
a team that was not good. I mean, yeah, I could think of tons of other teams that were better than them to go to the Super Bowl, but they had one of the top 5, you know, biggest playmakers in NFL history.
I know you guys have seen them all. The one kick where Theismann goes, I'd kick it to him.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah.
And of course, he takes it to the house, and it's like, you're fired.
Yeah. Jeez. Dude, Hester was something else, man. And like you were talking about earlier, Chip, I don't think we'll ever see anyone at that level at his position. It just – I mean, guys like Tyreek Hill are impressive and fun to watch. And then who is that dude that
and was – And, you know, before, he's a great dude, too, Devin Hester.
Yeah.
Devin Hester is a great dude. He had the same girlfriend all through college and is huge Faith.
Yeah.
At the top level, all the way to 10 in Faith.
He's a
great dude. And that never got brought out. You know what I mean? They kind of stay away from it or whatever. But, you know, not only is Devin Hester the best, dude, there's never been an inkling. He's never said anything wrong. He's just a great kid and was a great Hurricane.
Yeah.
That's just awesome to hear, bro.
Yeah. I wish there was a factory that turned out kids like that.
It's called South Florida. They need to recruit better here. Kids are here. And they're going to other places. That Judy kid. Judy should have been a Cane.
Yeah.
Obviously we don't win, but Chip, when do you think we started to lose South Florida kids?
When he was there, when LeVon was there, and they fired Kehoe and Solinger. That was when it was over. It was like, okay, they don't take football serious now. And they haven't remember when I said that they implored Randy to lift the GPAs and the graduation rates, and he did? Well, they've never kind of gone away from that.
Yeah.
And they don't take risks with recruiting at all. They can't. Maybe they can't because the NCAA would just crush them at this point. They probably have to, you know, chill for another 5 years. But yeah,
I didn't know that about Randy. I guess you saying that makes me, you know, kind of gives me flashbacks to reading articles and stuff like that. I remember when we were awarded like the top graduation rate along with Stanford. I remember that. But that mandate sounds like a great way to screw over a head coaching career, you know, especially at a school like Miami. I mean, schools like Alabama, they're not worried about Nick Saban graduating athletes. I mean,
no.
In basketball, you think Duke gives a crap about Coach K graduating athletes or keeping them more than a year?
Nobody does at Duke.
It's because those dudes are printing money, and I'm sure that our football program was printing money back in the day. And I mean, I don't know whose idea it was to change that up. I mean, I know a lot of people blame Donna Shalala for it, but geez, it's infuriating to think about. Because I mean, it's the old adage: if it's not broke, don't fix it.
They're not serious.
No. Let me ask you something, because I mean, this is a very fiery topic. What are your thoughts on Donna Shalala?
I don't know. I don't know enough.
Yeah.
I don't.
I just know that so many people have so many harsh feelings towards her. And I remember at the Orange Bowl when they would bring her out, everyone would boo. And I just kind of wanted to know kind of the backstory on that. And was it just because she kind of just didn't care as much about the football program or what?
Yeah, that's beneath them. These are super snobs. Like, she, you know, she's been in the White House and stuff and had offices in the White House. Like, football to them, like, please, Butch Davis is a farm seed or whatever, a hayseed.
Yeah.
You know, like, the football teams, these people wear, you know, scarves on their neck and, you know, white pants. They are super snobs, and this is an embarrassment to them.
Yeah. I mean, she went straight from Miami to wasn't she the president of the Clinton Foundation, or at least working in it?
Huge political stuff. She still is. She's big now.
Yeah, man. I mean, I wasn't old enough to really understand what was going on, and, you know, don't have inside info on the program, but I've rarely heard any positive things about her tenure in regards to the football program.
Okay. Remember we were talking about Entourage earlier. We're going to segue into the Entourage thing.
Yep.
Remember John Ellis?
Yes.
And then now Turtle. Or Drama.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does John Ellis going to sit there and be like, drama, you know, Eddie Burns, you know, fired him because of whatever happened in the dressing room. Like, no.
Okay, I now see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, Donna Shalala is so high up there, like at the, you know, the John Ellis level. That's like, what? Linebacker coach, get out of my face, you losers.
Well, and that's probably one of the reasons. I mean,
it's never going to be like, Alabama here.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the water boy here. We all want it to be, but they're not. No, it's Coral Gables. Dude, Coral Gables.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, that's like Butch Davis is kind of like your Eddie Burns guy, just a more blue collar guy, wants to win. And then, yeah, someone like John Ellis, a little more CEO type and very high class. And they just, I guess they didn't relate with, you know, it doesn't relate with the University of Miami program, like with Donna Shalala. And I mean, I don't know really how the university was ran before she came. And, but no, I mean, that's a great point. I always love segueing into Entourage and relating it.
Yeah, it's dude, we just need to talk more Entourage. We got, everyone loves it. It's the best show. Probably my favorite show of all time.
It's good.
Yeah.
And who's your guys' favorite characters on that? And who's your least favorite too?
Okay. Chip, do you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I mean, my favorite has to be Ari Gold. I mean, he's my favorite television character. He's my favorite character in television or film. The only one that would compete is probably Walter Sobchak from Lebowski, that I love even close to as much. So yeah, Ari's my favorite. I mean, every time I watch through, it's different. The first time I really liked Eric. The second time through, I started to appreciate drama more. But I mean, I already told you guys this, but Turtle's my least favorite, man. I've never really been a Turtle fan. But you know who's one of the more underrated characters that's not a main character? I really love Dana Gordon. She's like, I don't know.
She's good.
I always kind of wish that Ari would have ended up with her because I didn't like his wife much.
Yeah, absolutely. Dana was just, she was like one of the guys almost. She was just no BS kind of a girl, man.
Yeah.
And I love Ari. Ari's just the best.
Yeah.
What about you, Chip?
Well, I would say, I would self-promote and say that it's Vince because I shot his music video. Yeah. But I'm going to have to go with drama. Because he's an actual character. Whereas Vince has a little bit of a character arc, but he's melodrama. He's always Vince, and you know, and he's limited. People that haven't seen the series, they think that Vince is the show, but it's really not. The show revolves around Vince.
Yeah.
You know, he actually plays a very small part in it. He's got some big episodes and stuff, but it's Ari and drama.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I was talking to my brother about this the other day. Just kind of the philosophy behind calling it Entourage is that, you know, Vince is the lens that we see this through because it's, you know, it's presented at his story. But really what's important is what's revolving around him, right? And that's why they call it Entourage, is because it's not, they don't call it famous actor, you know. They call it Entourage because it's those guys that are doing the thing that we care about.
Well, it's funny because while Entourage started, I don't know the exact years or whatever, but I know we overlapped big time. I was making a TV show called Miami Ink, a tattoo show about 4 or 5 guys that had a tattoo parlor on Washington Avenue in Miami Beach. And the shows paralleled themselves a lot. And even to the point where I'd watch it and be like, oh my God, did they steal our idea? Yeah. Like almost everything that they did, we also did on our show, but ours was a reality show.
Yeah.
And it was just weird, like watch Entourage and then tomorrow, you know, get up and then kind of do Entourage. Follow like 5 dudes around that became super worldwide famous. It was nuts.
I think my favorite characters, and I it's a really a tie between all three of these guys. Ari is probably the best just because it's Ari. I mean, the dude is a walking, just quotable figure. And then E, because in my opinion, E's the one that holds it all together. That episode in season two when Vince breaks up with Mandy Moore and is about to quit Aquaman. And E, which pisses me off. Oh, my God. And, yeah, he kind of just holds it all together. And then drama, just because when I see drama, I see, like, my dad or, like, an older version of me. I think he's just the most relatable character on the show. I mean, besides Seinfeld, it's probably, like, my favorite show of all time.
You know, I every time I watch through, I'm always tempted to skip that Mandy Moore story arc. Because it's
so annoying.
Oh, I just want to smack Vince as hard as I can. It's like, and I mean, I feel like most guys can relate to that situation and have been there. But it doesn't change the fact that you just want to backhand him as hard as you can. You're like, dude, just snap out of it. She's a girl, you know?
Well, dude, and like he like falls in love in like 2 weeks with her. Like, what is he, a woman?
Yeah, for real, man.
But they also had James Cameron in those episodes, which is friggin' as Devin Hester.
Yeah.
You know who I really liked was Nick. I mean, you're in the film business, Duck. I know you know this guy, Nick Cassavetes.
Oh yeah.
He's badass.
Him. Dude, he's Hollywood royalty. No, he's actually East Coast, New York, like independent film royalty. Like, doesn't get bigger than that. He directed The Notebook. His father was John Cassavetes.
He did The Notebook?
Yes.
What?
He's Babe Ruth. Nick Cassavetes is huge.
Yeah, he's whenever I see like episodes with him, I'm just like, man, that guy, like, he's like a head coach that I would want to like run through a wall for. He just, I don't know.
Have you ever seen his have you ever seen any films by John Cassavetes?
What are some of the big ones?
The Woman, and then he's got a huge Columbo episode that's a must see. That's probably the easiest one to find. But he did and was the master of, like, doing free-form filmmaking where they would just, like, put loose outline and then just improv with, like, really great actors and is really deep.
So and, for your business, Doug, have you always been more involved in music videos or some feature films as well?
Man, I never thought I would be doing this. And I kind of got into it late in life, sort of. Excuse me. The way I got into it was I had always made my own films and stuff and would make films on the weekends with college kids and whoever wanted to get involved. And those people started to get jobs. Like, I had my own businesses. I did my own thing and never thought filmmaking and stuff was going to be like the way I made a living. But it just so happened those other people were super ambitious, and then it's all about connections, just like Entourage. Like, oh, who do we need? Oh, call Chip in South Florida. Boom.
Yeah.
And I did that for like 15, 16 years.
And I know you worked with T.I., didn't you?
I did The Wife's Show, which was Tiny and Toya. I did that series. And I did T.I. and Tiny Family Business.
What's that guy like? Because growing up, he was like one of my favorite rappers.
Dude, he's like Roscoe Parrish. He's like super tiny and super intense.
That's awesome.
Like, that's really, really intense.
That just and makes me laugh. All right, yeah, I remember, because whenever I tweet about T.I., you always told me that you filmed some, and that just, the first time you told me, it just blew my mind.
Dude, I was on a jet with him, the wife, and two or three of the kids. And one of the kids was like six and is reading out his Christmas wish list. And is like, I want an iPad. I want an iPhone 4. I want this. And I go, whoa, whoa, iPhone? Like, who are you calling? And you're like, you're 6 years old. And he looked at me, dude, like I was a piece of trash. Like, look at this old man. Like, sit down.
awesome. Okay.
Meanwhile, T.I. doesn't even blink. Like, he's doing his thing, and like all this is happening, and he's just super focused. Crazy.
That's awesome. Okay, we got some. Let's just answer these last two Canes questions we got on Twitter, and then we'll end it. First one says, because we do these top five things every week. First one says, rank the five Miami national championships. And Chip, you've seen all of them. Rank the five Hurricanes national championships for you.
Yeah, they're like it's just reverse order. 83 being the best, and 2001 being the least.
Really?
Why is that?
Yeah. Because 83, like, dude, no, we didn't have a shot. That was Rocky. Like, dude, this is possible. This could never happen.
Yeah.
In 2001, Miami became Apollo Creed and got knocked out by Rocky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
like
a dramatic arc.
No, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, especially
Stallone wrote. Stallone is a Cane.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? But like, you look back at 83, they're like Rocky. They don't, you know, they've got like store-bought wrestling shorts. And by the time 2001 comes around, dude, they're all stars. You know, like everybody's coming in, you know, with the big music and this and that. And they just got to get back to thumping.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's every time we talk, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster every time we record. And then by the end of it, I'm just always like, oh, you know, man, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, I wish, you know. I'm always just commiserating and you know, being nostalgic by the end.
What about you, Jordan? Do you have I know that we weren't really either alive or old enough to appreciate those years, but do you have a favorite or a least favorite national championship?
Yeah, you know, just – I mean, I just have to pick 2001 just because it's the only year that I saw any games. You know, and that's not to disrespect any of the other teams. I just, you know, I'd be talking out of my rear end a little bit if I was preaching for a different year, just because, you know, I've watched most of those 2001 games, at least whether it was back then or since then. I've seen pretty much the whole season and, you know, watched the players growing up. So that has to be my favorite year.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I mean, and I've been able to study this program a little bit. 1983 was obviously incredible to lose your first game to Florida, and then with a freshman Bernie Kosar lead your team to, you know, that incredible upset against Nebraska. And just like Chip said, you know, I mean, they were nobody. I mean, yeah. 4 years before that, they were losing to FAMU. Yeah. I mean, there were literally nobody. And then obviously 2001, I love 1987 just because I'm a huge Jimmy Johnson fan. He's my guy, 'cause I'm a Cowboys fan as well. And then 89 and 91, Erickson's more of a quiet guy, but I mean, they're all great. We got the crystal ball for all of them. And then this next question is, they just wanted to ask our opinions on these player battles. First one is Mark Pope against Jeremiah Payton. Who do you guys got?
Give me Peyton. I can't even tell you why. Just give me Peyton. What about you, Chip?
I have no idea. The receivers are the worst. Receivers are like the biggest doofuses on the team.
Oh man, like I said, I mean, you're betting against the guy who's either take the guy who hasn't lived up to what we thought he'd be, or the guy that you've never seen play before. So I'll go with the guy I've never seen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Pope. Yeah, everyone knows my feelings on Pope. I'm very skeptical. I love Jeremiah Payton's range as a receiver. I'm just waiting for him to be put into the game. Okay, and then the next is Don Chaney versus Jalen Knighton. You already know my answer, but
For this year, I mean, 100% Jalen Knighton. And – you know, we'll see what happens with Don Chaney in the future, but injury is really going to set him back. And then, you know, I think Knighton is much more of a role player. I think Chaney's game is going to be the, you know, first and second down between the tackles, at least much more than Knighton. Whereas I think Knighton will get some burn on, you know, coming out of the backfield, catching some passes, more of a utility Swiss Army knife kind of guy.
Yeah. I mean, I you already know my answer. I love Jalen Knight, and I love his skill set. I think it's a lot more applicable to a Rhett Lashley offense. I mean, Don Chaney played in a wishbone style in high school, and so I think it's going to be easier for Jalen Knight, and especially now that he's held. I mean, obviously we don't have spring football going on, but just Jalen Knight and being healthy right now and learning the playbook and going through some of the plays on his own, I think that's going to be huge. I love Don Chaney as a running back. I mean, there's a reason why he was the number one guy in the state of Florida, but Knight and speed is kind of like Hester's speed. You know, 40 time, it may not jump out at you, but there's something about football speed when you're in the open field and just nobody can catch you. Kind of like Jerry Rice. I mean, the guy ran probably like a 4.6 or 4.7, but when he was on the football field, no one can touch him.
That's all that matters, man. That's kind of how I felt about Duke. Like, you know, his numbers were never blazing in the 40 time, but he just had something. And same with Lamar Miller. You know, those guys just, when they got into open field, it was good luck, you know?
Exactly. Well, hey, boys, I got nothing else. You guys got anything else?
I got nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's I guess that's it for a good pod then.
Yeah, great show. Thanks again for LaVon coming on. And Chip, thanks again for you coming on, man. We got to have you on more.
I liked it. Good times.
Oh, wait, I do got one thing. So just, I mean, we were talking about Entourage. I thought this was a fun piece of trivia for you guys. It'll probably give you a good laugh. So regarding the Johnny Drama character, I've read on IMDb trivia that so the person that it was based after is like Mark Wahlberg's cousin or uncle or something. And so that dude that the character's based on auditioned for the part of Johnny Drama and didn't get it. The most Johnny Drama thing on the planet.
Right.
That's actually pretty damn funny.
Yeah, that is, I mean, par for the course. That's, they nailed the character then. So anyway, that's all I got.
Good deal. Well, hey, I know you and I are recording again tomorrow, Jordan. Got some good guests coming on. And Chip, whenever you want to come on, we appreciate you and appreciate your support, bro.
Awesome. Thanks for calling, Jordan.
Of course.
Good diversion. Give people something to listen to.
Yeah, and then I mean, do you have anything going? Are you still doing film stuff or music videos? Do you have anything you want to plug before you take off?
Well, no, we kind of got halted. Now I'm doing this documentary for the you know, this whole sewage thing.
Yeah,
which is like just horrible in Fort Lauderdale, and it's going to be like a hybrid type crazy thing, part horror film, part, you know, environmental disaster. But yeah, we've kind of gotten stuck here because I'm not going near that. They're still breaking.
Yeah.
One broke like 3 days ago.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Well, I mean, anything that you ever want us to retweet or help you spread the word or whatever, just let us know. And I mean, you got our audience. So.
Well, dude, I wanted to congratulate you for the last previous show for winning. You won. Out of all the Canes in South Florida or Florida football podcasts, you won that week with the John, what's his name? John Michael?
John Michaels.
John Michael, Ryan, and James. Dude, you had the best guest. That was the best podcast of the week by far.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
I appreciate that, brother.
We had some great guests. We were very fortunate to have such a good lineup with us.
And that's not because I got name dropped like 25 times neither. You could take everything that was said about me out.
That show was almost dedicated to you.
Yeah,
like I was in the title.
Yeah, I called it. That was me that came up with the title. You know, James was talking a lot about you and your ideology. I coined it the Gospel of Duck.
Well, he gets it too, and you know, they just got to get better. That's all.
Yeah, they do. I mean, this is what I said, man. We always end it just like, man, I don't know. We just got to win, you know?
That's what it all comes down to. I can't take another season like we just had. But, hey, boys, good episode. Go Canes as always.
Hey, go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like.